There's so much water in, around, and under New Orleans that if you were to dig a grave, it might well fill with water. So the dead spend eternity above ground. Over time, you place many coffins in a family tomb. Newcomers on the top, the remains of everybody else must move toward the bottom. In one of the city's oldest cemeteries, the final resting place of an aristocratic white New Orleans family is also the eternal home of African-American musical royalty. Gwen Tompkins has the story for our summer series, Dead Stop, in which we're visiting unusual cemeteries around the country.
In 1961, Ernie Cadeau managed something that no one from New Orleans had ever done before. Not Fats Domino, not Louis Prima, not even Louis Armstrong at that point. Cadeau scored a number one pop hit with a song about his, and apparently a lot of other people's, mother-in-law.
The worst person I know.
Mother-in-Law is still irresistibly singable. Ben Sandmel has just published Ernie Cadeau, Emperor of New Orleans.
So Mother-in-Law becomes a number one hit on the R&B charts for 5 weeks. It was number one on the pop charts for 1 week. This is when the black and white music worlds were considered to be very separate. And he went from playing the Chitlin' Circuit and being a local artist to having huge success in a very short time.
Cadeau maintained that only three songs would stand the test of time: Amazing Grace, The Star-Spangled Banner, and Mother-in-Law. Because as he put it, there's gonna be mothers-in-law until the end of time.
He was just exciting. Did all the microphone tricks and the dance moves that have been made famous by James Brown and Jackie Wilson. And he would take whatever material was put in front of him and just sing the hell out of it.
But to most people who knew him, Ernie Cadeau had a problem with self-esteem. He had too much of it. Later, Cadeau declared himself Emperor of the Universe.
Yeah. You know it's the truth. Yeah. You know it's the truth. Whoa.
Ernie Cadeau never returned to the top of the charts. Instead, he hit bottom, facing alcoholism, homelessness. But in the late 1990s, Cadeau and his wife Antoinette opened a club and had a growing cult of young followers. Then, on July 5th, 2001, Ernie Cadeau surprised nearly everyone when he died of cancer. Anna Ross, a champion of cemetery preservation in New Orleans, paid a call on the widow, Antoinette.
And I was hugging and kissing on Antoinette, you know, and I was doing the typical thing. What are you going to do? Where are you going to bury him? And she said, well, they have a family cemetery in Irvinville. He didn't want to be buried there. They have plots out at this cemetery on Airline Highway, and he didn't want to be buried there. He really wanted to be buried here in St. Louis, too, because it's down the street from the bar.
By happy coincidence, Ross's then 21-year-old daughter had just inherited a family tomb there. So young Heather Twitchell offered Cadeau a berth, and Antoinette accepted.
And then there was this gossip running around town. What is that white woman and her daughter and Antoinette doing? They're burying a black man in a white man's tomb, and my daughter thought it was the right thing to do. And she plays the harp. She's a musician herself. So we went ahead and had this incredible funeral. People were dancing on top of tombs and vaults around here. It was wild.
The funeral was as grand as the emperor had hoped. The second line parade to the cemetery was so long, it shut down the central business district. And sure enough, Cadeau's coffin desegregated Heather Twitchell's family tomb.
He's the one that made such a great impact on New Orleans and music. Just a gift.
Ernie's second mother-in-law, Antoinette's mother, joined him in the tomb shortly thereafter. He liked her. Then, a couple years later, Heather Twitchell opened the door again, and she welcomed a king. Ernie Cadeau may have had a national number one hit, but Earl King was by far the greater artist. By the time of his death, King had written briefcases full of blues and R&B and rock and roll standards, including this one.
There's been some lonely, lonely nights.
Johnny Guitar Watson, Robert Palmer, and Tina Marie were among the many who recorded Earl King's songs, as was Jimi Hendrix. And then there's the Mardi Gras anthem that King wrote for his mother. If you ever go to New Orleans and you don't hear Big Chief, then you should ask for your money back, because somebody took you to the wrong town. That's Earl King whistling while Professor Longhair plays piano. Hammond Scott was a co-owner of Blacktop Records and recorded King in his later years.
I'd rank Earl King at the very top in importance of anybody we ever recorded. He was one of the most unique songwriters that ever came out of New Orleans and that ever will. He was dynamite.
Hammond Scott calls Earl King a complete artist. Singer, songwriter, guitar player, raconteur, cartoonist, and beautician. When King died, a horse-drawn hearse carried him to glory. Antoinette Cadeau joined King, her husband, her mother, and the Twitchell ancestors in the tomb in 2010. And Heather Twitchell says when her time comes, she plans to join the cast of characters inside.
I'm having a party. I mean, Earl King and Ernie Cadeau are up there. Miss Antoinette, hopefully she'll be making some gumbo and her ridiculously strong coffee when I get up there. I'm going to go in there. I'm going to be cremated and jump on in.
Whether she gets a word in edgewise is another matter entirely. For NPR News, I'm Gwen Tompkins in New Orleans.
All of our Dead Stop stories live on the web at NPR.org. It's Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Steve Inskeep.
And I'm Linda Wertheimer.